That the service this morning was a blessing to you. I hope you come back looking for another blessing tonight. We'll find blessings when we look for blessings. If you look for something, if you're here to come to look for something to criticize about, you can find that too. But hopefully, you've come to get a blessing tonight. I want to just tell you a little bit about my family. I told you about our churches this morning, our mission program. We're in Guadalupe, where I'm pastoring right now. We're supporting 15 missionaries at $70 a month. And the young couple that you saw that are in Tlaxcala is the smallest state in the country of Mexico, but she's out of our church. Her grandmother's in church, and all of her aunts and uncles are saved except one uncle, and they're all in our church with the exception of one uncle. And he's in another church, another Baptist church. And Alfredo and Vanessa get $165 a month because they're ours. They're our missionary. We're taking care of them. And I don't have any problem with that because their family's back of me. They're behind me all the way. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know, you saw the picture of my son. He's our oldest. Matt's our oldest. He's in state of Hidalgo, about an hour out of Mexico City, an hour north of Mexico City, in Tula, Hidalgo. He's been there for 10 years. They're running well over 250 every service. He's a good pastor, a good preacher. Out of the five children that we have, four of them are in full-time service. Matt's our oldest. Bonita is our second one. She's the mom of these five kids that we've got with us tonight. Her and her husband are in Uganda right now. Gino is setting up a radio station for a missionary in Uganda. In fact, the ministry that Gino is in is setting up radio stations for missionaries all over the world. That's his ministry. And Bonita was able to go with him this time. And for that reason, we're here to take care of the kids. Rosanna is at Fairhaven Baptist College in Chesterton, Ohio, Indiana. Her husband is in full-time evangelism. She's a teacher in the college and also a secretary in the offices. Our third daughter, Marissa, is... I don't know what you call her. She's married to a pastor that's in jail. My son-in-law is in jail for spanking a child, and him and his brother have been in jail now for 8 years. They disciplined the boy with the parents' permission. The parents said, "Take care of the boy. We'll take care of him when we get home." And it was nothing but a trick. They disciplined the boy. Josh disciplined the boy. Caleb did nothing. Caleb was only a witness. When the trial came, they were found guilty. Caleb got 13 years in prison for being an accomplice. Josh got 26 years. And we're praying that Caleb possibly will get out on parole this year. He's been denied earlier this year, but we're hoping that possibly this year he will be able to come out. Josh still has to spend 13 years before he's even eligible for parole. But Josh and Caleb are different. They're different men. First of all, I'm proud to have a son-in-law that's counted worthy to suffer. Suffer righteously. He did nothing that deserved what he's getting. Josh and Caleb have never, ever, in any time that I have visited them in the last 8 years, have ever complained or made an accusation that God wasn't fair and God wasn't just. God's always fair and God's always just. The world's not just, but God is always just. They say, "God put us here. when God gets ready to take us out, there's nothing that'll stop him. And I believe that too. When God is ready for those two men to come out of jail, there is nothing that can keep them in jail. If God could take Peter out of jail by opening the gates, he can still do it. Same God, he hadn't changed a bit. I am the same yesterday and today and forever. But anyway, that's where Maressa is waiting for a pastor to come out of jail. And probably as soon as he gets out of jail, he'll start pastoring another Spanish church. He was a pastor of the Spanish church in Capital City Baptist Church when he went to jail. Our fourth boy is not in full-time service. He's in church and he's in serving. In fact, right now, he's on the Amazon River in Brazil on a mission trip in the Amazon. He's the pack horse. He's taking and supplies in for doctors to minister in clinics along the Amazon River. He'll be there for 2 weeks. He was in Romania 2 years ago to build a church for a missionary in Romania. He's just interested in missions. God never called him to missions, but he's interested in missions. And he's a giver. And God's using him. And so Dixie and I are pleased. We count it an honor that God would call our children into full-time service. I never called them. I don't want them to be daddy called. I want them to be God called. But we are pleased. But let me tell you this. We raised our kids to serve God. It's not by accident that they're serving God. It was planned. And we did our very best. Now, we made a bunch of mistakes. We're normal parents just like anybody else, and we made a lot of mistakes. But thank God, he covers up a lot of times for us. The desire was that our kids would serve God. That's what we raised them for. The Bible says that we're kings. We're princes. We're kings. What does a king teach his son to do? To be a king. He doesn't teach him to be a servant. He teaches him to be a king. We're servants of God. We want our children to be servants of God. And God's blessed. God's taking care of us. He's taking care of our kids. And there's nothing we can do except say, it was by the grace of God. And that's it, folks. If our kids grow up to serve the Lord, it's by the grace of God. Because the devil's going to do everything he can to keep them away, to take them away. But I just want to thank you again for your support to us, your prayer support to us. We appreciate it. We'll do everything we can to see churches built. We have three churches right now built, going. Two of them are being pastored by Mexicans. In the future, Lord willing, we'll have a pastor in the church where I'm pastoring right now. But I'm going to be very careful. That church has gone through a lot of heartache. Matt left to start another work. And the pastor that was there is no longer in the service. They were without a pastor for years. And so they've been hurt. And the next Mexican pastor, I'm going to do my very best to see that they get the best pastor that God could possibly give them. We just ask you to continue to pray for us. In the time, Mexico's having some problems right now. But, hey, anywhere you look, there's problems. But God's still on the throne. He has a last word, and he is in control. This evening, I want to bring a message to you. Possibly it's something that you haven't thought about, and so much of the time we read the Bible and we get something in our head and we think, well, that's what the Bible says. How many wise men were present when they took the presents to Jesus? Well, Basically, people think, well, there must have been three. There were three gifts, so it must have been three kings. No, the Bible doesn't say that. We don't know how many was there. I believe there were more. But that's just an example of what we get in our heads. Tonight, let me ask you a question. At the rapture, the Bible tells us that the dead rise first and we will follow. How quickly? At the blink of an eye? The rapture is going to come at the blink of an eye. But you know what? The Bible does not tell us how long it will be after the dead are raised before we which are alive and remain go up to meet them in the air. I want us to look at some things tonight I think is interesting. This is not my message. It's something that I've studied. I've got it from another pastor. But as I read what this pastor was writing, I began to study and wanted to find out. And what I'm going to tell you tonight, this is my idea. But whatever it is, if you're not saved tonight, this message is not for you. This message is for the child of God. The child of God is going up in the rapture. Whether you're dead or whether you're alive, you are going up. If you're not a child of God tonight, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be in this event. This is a special event for special people. Let's look at the book of Acts tonight. Acts chapter 1. If you would stand with me, please, while we read the Word of God. Let me read tonight verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after this passion with many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men by them stood in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight that the Holy Spirit would dwell with us. Teach us tonight what you have for us. Lord, help me to be a blessing to these folks tonight as they've been a blessing to us. All things that we do tonight will be for your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We know from what the Bible tells us here that Luke wrote the book of Acts. He wrote the book of Luke. Now, Luke was not an apostle. In fact, the way I understand, if I have read correctly, Luke is the only Gentile that wrote part of the scripture. This is the way I understand it. Luke was not a Hebrew. He was a Gentile, and God used him to write those two books. We find in the book of Luke, the last chapter, we find the ascension of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it begins with the ascension of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's a continuation. God sent his Son. His Son talked to his disciples and said, I'm going away. And he went away in front of them. Right before them, he went up. Now we find here in Acts, there's two angels standing beside them saying, why are you standing here? He's going to come back just like he went up. And so what do we have to do in the meantime? We're to watch and to wait for his return. And as we're watching and waiting, what do we do? We do the command that God has given us. That's missions. That is to bring glory to God in whatever we do. We find here in chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what? You shall be witnesses. Now, you cannot be a witness here in Ohio and be a witness physically in China. But you can be a witness in China through missions. That's the way it's done. If we are going to fulfill the commandment that Jesus Christ gave, there isn't any way to do it except through missions. You can go or you can send. You pick it. No, better yet, let God pick it. Let God pick what he wants you to do. That's when we receive the blessings. And we find here the ascension of Jesus Christ. And he had already promised them that he was coming back. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay, what he says here, he said that he showed himself alive. He showed himself by many infallible proofs. What does infallible proofs mean? It's not possible to be an heir. Impossible to be an heir. In John 20, he showed himself alive. You can't argue that. Well, no, he come in the Spirit. He did not come in the Spirit. An infallible proof, Christ stood there among his disciples. He said, put your finger in the hold of my hand. Put your hand in my side. They felt him. Infallible proof. Now, let me say this. With what we have today in the United States, you can get 100 different versions of the Bible. And the devil will do whatever he can to deceive the elected. And he's doing it today by the versions that are coming out. If you have tonight the New American Standard Version, it's going to say there are convincible proofs. If you have the Revised Standard Version, it'll just say there's many proofs. But God said they are many infallible proofs. That word infallible is used one time. Right here. No other place in the Bible is it ever used. God picks the words. And if God gave the word, and God preserved the word, he said he would preserve the word, That's his promise to us, you and me. I have tonight the preserved Word of God in my hand. I have the King James Bible. It is for the preserved Word of God in the English language. Now, what we have a problem with today is, what are the other nations going to use? What are the Mexicans going to use? You know what? They may not have what you have. I believe we do. Now, this video or this DDV that you saw tonight did not say anything about this. But our church, our local church, went back to the Valletta 1602. When I got into Mexico, all I had to choose from was the 1909 and the 1960, the 1976, and various other translations. I didn't know Spanish. When I got out of college, the Spanish pastor said, the 60 is the Word of God. Hey, I took that to be right. He's Mexican. He knows Spanish. He says the 1960 is the Word of God. It must be the Word of God. We got down to Mexico. The missionary at that work that we went to said the 1960 is the Word of God. He preached out of the 1960. Dixie and I did not know any Spanish. But you know what? It didn't take too long. We had a bilingual Bible. We had an English version, King James, and we had a Spanish 1960. And we started looking, hey, this doesn't say the same. There's a problem here. Well, it wasn't very long that Dixie and I quit the 1960 and we went to the 1909. But you know something? Still don't add up. They don't come together. They don't say the same thing. And my Mexican pastor, he said, we do not have a Bible. He says, what I have preached, I have not used the Word of God, the pure Word of God. He said, we are going to look for the pure Word of God. We found some copies of the 1602 in Spain. We found three copies in Mexico City. And we started working. When I say we, not me. My pastor, one missionary, and our church people. There was still some problems with the 1602. Not the Word of God. There was problems because of the printing. It's just like the 1611 that we have tonight. Had some revisions before we have what we have tonight. It's still the Word of God. We're working right now on a second revision. We have found mistakes. Computers are good, but computers aren't perfect. They've left out words. They've misspelled words. And we're going to try to correct that. But we have tonight, folks, in our churches in Mexico, I believe the pure Word of God, the 1602. By the way, the 1602 was used as a comparison when the 1611 came out. We had a man working on our Spanish Bible. And there was a problem. We called a Jew at the University of California and asked, what should we do with this word, this Greek word, the Hebrew word? He said this. He said, the word you've translated is correct. And he said, if you have a question, go to the King James Bible. He was a Jew. He is a Jew. And he said, the King James Bible is correct. Folks, when you hold up your Bible, you ought to have confidence that it isn't going to change. The world's changing today, but God's not going to change. And his word will not change. We have a Bible that tells us that Jesus showed himself by many infallible proofs. It can't be denied. It's not possible to make a mistake. And you know, we need to take the stronger stand. So many times we hear this. Well, I don't like the King James because it's so hard to read. It's so hard to understand. Infallible? Is that any harder than conceivable? It says that we will not prevent those that are dead in the rapture. What does prevent mean? Oop! Now let's take it back to what it means. When we think about the word prevent, well, I'm not going to let you do something. The word prevent means to go out. Pre is go out before. We will not leave before those that are dead first. Prevent. Vent is to go out. Pre is first. They're going first. That's not hard, people. We look at things in context. Any word that we have in this Bible can be understood. So don't let people tell you it's just too hard to understand. If it's too hard to understand, maybe they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's very possible. It is very possible. As you have your Bible tonight, is the Word of God just a thought, or is it just a precept? Is it what God thought? No. It is literal words. He will show us when he's talking in types. I talked to you this morning about Isaac being a type of Christ. It's a type, but that's not hard to understand. Look in Psalm chapter 12. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God keeps his word. He's going to keep his word. We find that God said he would come back in the book of Acts. God promised that he would come back. Look in Matthew 27. Another infallible proof, by the way, in chapter 27. Verse 52 and 53. Let me read verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Infallible proof? I think so. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was also a resurrection of some believers. The graves were open. They came out. They went into the city and preached. Nobody could doubt it. It was undoubtable. And so we find here these Christians that rose when Christ arose. They're there. They're with Christ. Christ showed himself to his apostles. He showed himself to 500 brethren at one time. What happened at the ascension? Did these folks that were dead and rose from the dead, did they go back to the grave? Or did they just die out little by little? I personally believe when they rose and when Christ ascended, they ascended with him. That's my belief. They have no earthly reason to be here, except for the fact that they were pointing to Christ. Here is the risen one. That was their job. Physically, they were done. And now God's ready for them to go home. I believe that's the beginning of the first resurrection. What does the Bible say about the rapture? If you're saved, you ought to know what it says. First of all, it's going to pass in a moment. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. It's going to pass in a moment. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's the first thing. We're going to be changed. Second thing. Here again, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 21. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So he promises that we're going to have a different body. We're going to be changed. Third, the dead are going to rise first. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the fourth thing. The third thing. The fourth thing is this. We're going to meet in the air. Verse 17. The fifth thing, we need to watch. Look at chapter 5. Verse 6. Therefore, let's back up to 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Christian. Look at, actually, from verse 1 to 5 is the context. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We know that. We don't know when the rapture takes place. It's going to come when we don't know. But after the rapture, then he tells us to watch and wait. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. So after the rapture, after the dead in Christ rise, we're ready to go up too. It's not, how can it be a surprise if we're already know and we're watching for it? It's not a surprise. We're just simply waiting. Look in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, Jesus gave some parables about the rich man going away into a far country and the servants saying, hey, he's not coming back for who knows when. We'll do what we want to do. We'll drink and we'll abuse the time. And the good man came back when they weren't ready. We are to watch and wait for the rapture. And then we can know when Christ is coming back for us. Why will a dead rise first? Why will they rise first in the first resurrection? In Matthew 27, it talks about all of those that were in the grave when Christ rose, and it will continue until the end of the tribulation. That's the first resurrection. At the end of the first, at the 7-year tribulation, will be the first resurrection. It began when Christ arose from the dead, and it will continue on. The Lord is the first fruits. We know that. 1 Corinthians 15:23, Colossians 1:18. Look at Colossians. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Christ is the first fruits. Part of the resurrection will be the gathering in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The harvest in 1 Thessalonians 4. Part of the first resurrection will be the martyrs that go through the tribulation. And in Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, there are only 3 verses referring to those that are alive at the coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Philippians 3:21. Talking about the live. But now what do we, now let's look at those that are dead. First of all, Christ will bring them, those that were dead, with him. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. So there is telling us that when Christ comes back, he's bringing those that were dead with him. Now, they've already gone out, so they're ready to come back. We will not leave before them. Verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you, brethren, say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We will not go out before them. Those dead will rise at the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, they're going to rise first. Verse 16. And they will rise with a body. It says that we will have a new body. We will be changed. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we do know one thing. It's going to be like the body that Christ had when he rose from the dead. That's what 1 John tells us. It's going to be an incorruptible body. What we have tonight, you and I have tonight, are corruptible bodies. At the rapture, it's going to be a new body, an incorruptible body. 1 Corinthians 15:52. And then probably it will be 40 days after we will go up, 40 days after the rapture of the dead. And I believe this is very possible. Why? Go back to Acts chapter 1. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of those of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I believe it'll be 40 days. I think we can count on it. And I believe there's some principles set down in the Word of God that will show us that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, verse 17, and then it will not be a surprise. Go back to 1 Thessalonians again. Chapter 5. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, brethren, Christians, that day should not overtake us like a thief. It's going to be like a thief to those that aren't ready. It's going to be like a thief to those that are not saved. But it's not going to be that way for us. He says that we will not be overtaken like a thief. In the Bible, I'm not much on numbers, but I do have some numbers tonight. The Bible uses the number 40 for things that are going to happen of great importance. Why God chose the number 40, I don't know. But how many days did it rain on the flood? 40 days and 40 nights. In Genesis 7, verse 17. How many days did they prepare one of the great people of Israel, Joseph, for his body? 40 days. He was prepared 40 days for his burial. Genesis 50, verse 3. How long did Moses stay on the mountain? 40 days and 40 nights. God was getting ready to do something great with a great man. 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 24, 18, and chapter 34, 28 and 29. How many days did the spies spy out the land? 40 days. Numbers 13, 25. How long did Goliath make fun of the army of Israel before his head got cut off? 40 days. God was preparing this guy for a death that he wasn't expecting. Elijah was 40 days with God through the food that he ate, the angel offering it to him. 1 Kings chapter 19. Jonah preached 40 days, waiting for the judgment of God to fall, and it didn't fall because of the city repented. But Jonah was expecting it to fall in 40 days. In Jonah 3, 4, Christ was tempted 40 days before he got the victory. Matthew 4, 2. Christ and the saints walked on the earth 40 days after the resurrection, before the ascension. Acts 1, verse 3. 1, 3. John 6, 39, 40, 44, 54. John 11, 24. Folks, we talk about the reign or the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God tonight? What do you think the kingdom of God is tonight? We're waiting for Christ to come back so we can go to heaven? No. That's a kingdom of heaven. Let's look at the kingdom of God tonight. Let's look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that's what the Bible says. It's not my idea. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's go a little step further. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17. If that's what it says in Romans, what do we apply that to? Romans, Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, like the kingdom of heaven. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. When he talked about righteousness and joy and peace, where is it? It's in my heart. It's in your heart. There's the kingdom of God. We have it right now. We're waiting for the kingdom of heaven. God will come back and he'll give us the kingdom of heaven. When he comes to establish his throne, are you coming with him? Are you going to be ready? The rapture is coming. We cannot say, well, the days haven't changed from old. Maybe they haven't. But this day is going to change. It will come. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. It started with the resurrection of Christ. It'll finish at that when all of this is ended. That's the first resurrection. And it will continue for eternity. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you tonight, are you ready for the rapture? If you're ready, what are you doing to help other people prepare for it? I'm a missionary in Mexico. You're a missionary too. If you were not a missionary, God would not have said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's all a missionary is. That's all it is. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part for the world? Are you doing your part for this town right here? For the men that you work with, or the women you work with? Kids, are you doing your part at school? But first of all, you've got to be prepared. If you're here and you're not saved, I beg you tonight to get saved. There's no other way under heaven whereby men must be saved. Through the name of Jesus Christ. Christ did it all. You read the book of Hebrews. Anybody that thinks that they can get to heaven by living a good life and by good works needs to read the book of Hebrews. It's done. When Christ said, "It is finished," everything was done that needed to be done for your salvation and my salvation. If you're not saved, get saved tonight, please. Pastor.